Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. As always, I'm your host, David, and I've got another question from a real life teen. But before I do that, I just want to remind you that if you're not following us on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Patreon, you should. So our name on YouTube is OG Therapy. It's OG Therapy on TikTok. It's OG.therapy on Instagram. And on Patreon, if you want to, or if you don't mind paying an extra $5, you can get over 2 years worth of additional bonus content that was not on our social media platforms. All you got to do is go to www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. And that's where you'll get these episodes in video form. So every week we post the past week's episodes in video form. And we've got multiple years of episodes in the catalog if you just go to www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. And if you want to follow me, just go to David_KOZLOWSKI. I'm only active on Instagram, so you can check out the reels from each episode there. And yeah, that's it for that. So let's jump right into the question I got from a teenager. This one, I don't think I've ever gotten a question like this, just the way it was phrased, but I really appreciate the realness, the rawness. And this wasn't even like a question. It was more kind of like how a teenager would say it to me if I was just talking to them. So it goes like this. Does he get better? ? Will I ever quit thinking about him? ? Will I ever quit thinking maybe he will break no contact? ? Will I ever be good enough in his eyes? ? Why won't he just keep his eyes on me? I like that question. A lot of honesty, a lot of, you know, talking it out loud, you know, talking your thoughts out loud is what I mean. So does it ever get better? You know, when I listen to teens go through breakups, even adults, but specifically with teens go through breakups, and it's very common that, you know, they'll ask, like, does it get better? Like, is there any way to get over this heartache? Because it feels so painful. It feels so difficult. It feels so unbearable. Most people will tell you, if you ask them that question, I'm talking to the teen that asked this. I don't know if this is a boy or girl. They chose not to share their name on this one, which I totally get it. But it doesn't really matter what age you are in a breakup. If you care about someone, it's going to hurt. The difference with teenagers is when they say things like, will it ever get better? They don't have enough data. They don't have enough experiences to draw from where they can overpower those intrusive thoughts in their mind saying this is going to be like this the rest of your life. You know, this is how relationships are. You're not good enough, those types of things. So instead of just saying, oh yes, it'll get better, don't worry about it, I want to, you know, sit with that for a little bit longer and let you know that it's supposed to suck because it was actually good and you had high hopes, expectations, and sometimes even, you know, you daydream about being with them and, you know, going places, doing things, and then you break up. And so in that sense, it is a type of death. I think it's safe to say I use this with, you know, my clients when I'm actually doing real therapy, not just, you know, when I'm just doing podcasting. A breakup is, you know, it's, you're going to go through a grieving process. And I don't know how young this person is, but I'm pretty sure they know what grieving is. Most people know that grieving is the feelings and experiences you have of sorrow, of disbelief. You're trying to bargain, negotiate, and get the, you know, the person to come back to life, or wish you would have contacted them before they passed away. But most teenagers don't know that grief happens in many types of losses of relationship, not just a physical death of someone. In a breakup, you grieve the death of the relationship. And so in that sense, it's supposed to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Just like if you lose someone in, you know, an actual death situation, you're going to feel all these different types of hard, intense emotions and fears. And you may become tearful. You may become emotionally unstable. All those things are natural and normal. What isn't advised to do is to suppress those and just say, I'm fine, it's okay, it's no big deal, and block it out and avoid those feelings at all costs. It's important to grieve the death of anything, a friend, a pet, a breakup, a friend moving away, not even, just maybe just even to another town or to a different state where you can't see them all the time. All those things are going to cause different levels of grief, but the intimacy and the closeness of that person, the relationship with that person, usually, determines how much pain you're going to feel in that grief. So yes, it does get better, but I don't want to mislead this young person and say that it gets better, you'll be fine, everything's okay. I just don't think that's honest enough. It's gonna suck, and it's supposed to suck because you cared a lot. If you didn't care that much, guess what? Wouldn't suck that much. You wouldn't even have sent in this question. So the second part of this, will I ever quit thinking about him? Well, very similar to grief. You're going to be obsessed, or maybe not obsessed. You're going to be preoccupied and thinking about all the different things that happened, what led up to the breakup. You're going to be thinking about what you could have done different, what you wish would have happened different. You're also going to think about, man, why can't we go back to the beginning, when we first started dating, when everything was easy and we're just friends. And a lot of times that's why people say, okay, I don't want to date you anymore, but I want to still be your friend and I want to go back to how things were when we were just friends. Well, that's not possible because once you start dating, that's a different thing than friends. And once you start dating, you can't go back to not dating anymore and just be solely friends. Now, over time, of course, if there's, months and years in between there, in between the dating, you might be able to be friends again. You might not even care if they're dating one of your friends, but there is a window of opportunity that, or not window of opportunity, there's a window of time, and it's gonna be a little bit different for everyone, that once you break up with that person, like it says in the next part, the no contact rule, you're gonna find that you can be friends with them because it's been a safe enough distance for you not to get caught up in all your feelings and be overthinking about that person. The next part is, will I ever quit thinking, will I ever quit thinking maybe he will break no contact? So by the time I'm answering this, because this was a few weeks ago that I got this question, there's a good chance you might have already answered this yourself. There's a very good chance that you might have already got past that part. And good chance that he broke no contact with you, or you break no contact with him. So usually that's pretty common that happens. The only time that that doesn't happen, well, not the only time, but one of the times that that doesn't happen is if the person that you broke up with quickly gets into a relationship with someone else. But they'll break the no contact once they break up with that person and they start searching around for someone else that can like them or still has feelings for them because they're going to feel vulnerable and insecure after that breakup, which will eventually happen. Because, I was talking to middle-aged and high school kids, so there's not a high probability that the person you're dating your sophomore year, you're going to be married with kids someday. There's a chance, but not a high probability. So that's the answer to that part of the question. And then the last couple parts, it says, will I ever be good enough in his eyes? This one's going to be a tough one for me to answer for you because I want to be honest, but I don't want to be cruel or mean. It's actually really not about you, which is ironic because if he broke up with you, it seemed like, now I'm just going to assume that he broke up with you. I don't know. But let's say he did break up with you. If he broke up with you, it's easy and safe to assume, or at least to have the thoughts of what was wrong with me, how come I'm not good enough? But if you ask yourself honestly, there's probably some things about him that you didn't like either. There's probably some things that you're like, man, this is stupid, this is lame. Maybe you were just not looking at the red flags, maybe just looking at things that you didn't have in common or disinterest with, or that you were disinterested about his behavior or things that he did or way he dressed or act or look. There might have been a lot of, there's probably a lot of things, not might have been, but there's probably a lot of things that were undesirable about this guy for you. However, you might have just kind of pushed those off to the side just to be able to stay in the relationship. A lot of times people are very protective of the relationship, even if it's from things that they know they shouldn't try to protect the relationship from. Like if a person's being mean to you, if they're belittling you, if they're telling you constantly you're stupid, you're dumb, or mocking and making fun of you. You may try to stay with that person in that relationship solely to try to get them to like you and to make them happy without even considering, is this even good for me? Or even being honest. Maybe you do know that it's not good for you, but maybe it's not honest to admit it because you've been trying so hard to be with this person. You can't imagine losing. You can't imagine not winning their heart. Sometimes a loss is the best thing that can happen for you. Sometimes someone having the courage to break up with you because you don't have the courage to break up with them, or that you're not willing to admit the relationship has hit its expiration date, or that it really isn't much more than just like, hey, we dated for a little bit and then that was it. Next part of the question, the last part, I believe, says, why won't he just keep his eyes on me? Now we're starting to go what I call into the time machine. So everyone that's ever read a book about fantasy book, obviously, about time travel, or someone finds a time machine, there's always a constant theme in time machine books and movies. And that is this: every time someone gets in a time machine and goes to the past, it changes the present. Every time someone goes to the future and in a time machine and makes some changes, different things happen in the future, it changes the present. So this young person is obviously getting in a time machine saying, why won't he just keep his eyes on me? This is the part of the grieving that's difficult to make sense of. This is the part where you're bargaining. You're trying to understand, like, well, why didn't it work out? You know, you're in disbelief. You start thinking about little details like, yeah, man, how come, like, when we're dating, like, he'd still talk to the girls or flirt with other people? Like, you know, what about me? Is that good enough for me to keep his attention? I get the question. It makes total sense. Most people have asked themselves those questions through breakups. And the question's lacking something. The question's lacking a consideration of that some people do a better job at keeping focus at one person or the person they're dating, and other people do not. I will tell you, a young person that asked this question, I've counseled many adults who they have this problem with their marriage partner. The marriage partner's like, they're always flirting with the girl at work. They're always, you know, touching the back of, you know, the lower back of, a cute woman's arm and whispering in their ear like, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. Doing these little things that, and I'm using guys because obviously he's a guy. Doing little things that guys do to try to gently flirt, give compliments. Oh, wow, you look beautiful today. And I've seen wives and girlfriends look at their man and like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, are you so dumb that you're complimenting the beauty and the attractiveness of a woman? You're flirting with her right in front of me. Other guys just get caught staring at girls all the time, right? So in that scenario, if a guy is looking at a girl, he's checking out a girl, trying to flirt with a girl, and you're the girl he's actually with, and you're watching this happen, this isn't so much about, will you ever be good enough for him? This isn't so much like, will you be attractive enough to keep his attention? This is a him issue. This guy's not smart enough to realize you do that when you're dating someone, you're running the risk of at least causing drama, or at worst, your girl saying, this is stupid, I'm not gonna be with you. If I'm not someone that can keep your attention, you're attracted to enough that you can't, or even if that guy's not mature enough to not look at girls when he's with you, to have some self-control, then that's a huge red flag that you shouldn't be ignoring. You shouldn't want, if that is a concern of yours in a relationship where you're seeing that this person is constantly wondering, constantly checking other people, constantly flirting, ask your friends, ask people around, say, am I tripping, or is this really happening? Because maybe it is your own insecurity. Maybe you're so fearful of not being good looking enough that maybe you're creating things to happen, and your boyfriend's not even doing this. But if the people around you are saying your boyfriend, or let's say you're a guy listening to this and your girlfriend, or whatever your preferences of gender you like to date, whatever's happening there, just double check to make sure people around you that it's not you just, you know, being overly concerned, overly worried, overly paranoid, and having a lot of insecurities about him talking to other people. If the people around you are like, yeah, no, he's kind of a flirt, or yeah, he's been doing that a lot, stuff like that, you're gonna have to address that and acknowledge that with the person while you're dating them. And if they keep on doing it, the second warning should be like, hey, you know, like, I'm not going to try to force you and control you. If that's something you want, that's fine. But if it continues to happen, then I don't know if this is going to work between us, because it just triggers a lot of weird insecurities, emotions. I mean, I don't need that. Like, I just want to date someone that's okay with me. And if you want to go talk to the people and the other people, I don't want to stop you from doing that either. That is my suggestions for the multiple questions or self-doubts or concerns that this young person had in this question. Hopefully you guys can take some nuggets from that. Hopefully you pick apart some things that are relevant to you and your situation. And as always, guys, remember, when you are down on your knees, life's got you saying, please, Lord, please, baby Jesus, Buddha, Allah, all whoever you worship, or whoever you ask for help from above, tell them. Well, not just tell them, I'm telling you. You don't need to be saying, please, please, please. You can always pray, you can always do those things, but you can always also just press play and listen to your OGs. Until next time, be cool.